and Mary, full of
grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women,
and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God,
pray for us sinners,
now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Time to grow deeper this year in that presence of God within us, the mystery of God in our hearts, and trying to let Him be really our God, then our Lord and our King, in the only place that He is not sometimes our hearts. We give glory to the Father,
to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
So we are almost finishing the first week. it's powerful, I mean, because it's a lot of things that are very helpful for our lives and for understanding the plan of God. There are things that are basic. It's a week that is a call to conversion. Every Christian life is always a call to conversion. It's a call to turn more and more and more to God until we see Him face to face, and in that moment we will not turn from Him ever. But conversion is turning to the love of God, approaching to the love of God. It's not coming to His mercy. It's not a word that is like weird. Being Christian is being in a state of conversion. That is an expression of John Paul II in the encyclical about mercy. So status conversionis, he used the Latin words for putting more deep, and being in a status conversionis, in a state of conversion, that is what Christian life is. Because it's a call to grow, it's a call to holiness, and we are not yet there, so it's always that process of conversion that is part of Christian life. People don't want to convert, and so there is no real relationship with Jesus when there is not a desire of conversion. Because Jesus said it, read Luke 11, the beginning of the chapter. And I say to you, if you don't convert, you will perish, all of you. So I'm saying, why? Because there are always things. There are always attacks of the enemy, problems in relationships, trials of life, crosses. And all this is in a plan of God for our conversion, for coming closer to Him. That is what is conversion. But if we keep in our feelings or our emotions or our depressive behaviors, conversion is coming to holiness, coming to happiness. So before we finish, we are going to, the next day we will have a meditation, but I prefer to leave it for the next day. That is a powerful meditation also. But this is an understanding better the rules of discernment of spirit. That they are given for the first week is for understanding how God works in us and how God doesn't work in us. It's very important to know what is happening inside us, because our relationship with God is not about what is happening outside, it's about what is happening inside. That is the revelation that San Ignatius of Loyola had. What's that point? That there was an action of God in him. And he was not aware of that. And all his conversion and all his life, what about that? The understanding that God is wanting to work in our hearts. He's wanting to give us what he calls, his expression, consolations. And so he wants to give us that joy and peace for walking in his path, for improving our lives. Without joy, it's impossible to grow. Joy is the power of Christianity. Ratzinger wrote a book, Servers of Your Joy, talking about priests. So why? Because if we don't have joy, it's because something that is not God is getting our hearts in some way. Even the mystery of the cross, the mystery of death, and the mystery of sin, they don't have the power for taking away our joy if we are able to open to God. That is the problem always, is if these things that is what Jesus took in the cross, suffering, death, and sin. Are the three elements that Jesus took in his cross for what? For conquering them. Because obviously, Satan has a power there. In our sins, in our sufferings, any kind of sufferings I am talking about, I mean psychological sufferings, and death. And he has a power, obviously, because it's what always separates us from God. But revelation is that God is there in a deeper way, that these things can be transformed, and also in those places we can let God work in us, as Jesus taught us in his passion. No? I mean, the lesson of the passion is Gethsemane. Gethsemane is when he is yet teaching us what is going on, all the passion is teaching us. But in Gethsemane, he prayed and prayed about what? The goodness of God, the almighty power of God, and the will of God be done. The three things of the prayer of Jesus were that, Abba, Father, for you nothing is impossible, not my will, but your will. And you know that he was in, the expression is, fear and sadness until death. So he suffered that for us. So we understand that in depression or what kind of sadness that we have in our lives, we need to pray. How? Opening to God, our Father, Abba, opening to the power of God, for you nothing is impossible, and trying to keep in the will of God, because the enemy is always trying to separate us from God, separating us from the will of God. And that is the prayer. And Jesus finished that prayer after 3 hours repeating the same, so coming to the goodness of the Father, what he was proclaiming, God is good, God is love, God is my dad. And he was, that was his prayer, because what was the temptation? To deny that. All temptation is denying that. All temptation is denying that God is good. All temptation is denying that God is Father. All temptation is denying that God is the source of love and strength. All temptation is denying that because evil is here, there is no God. Obviously, all temptations are that in your life and in my life. But, I mean, the mystery of salvation is that there is God in a deeper way. Because that is the mystery of the cross. The mystery of the cross and the glorification of the cross is that God is there in a deeper way. Why? Because suffering, death, and sin are part of human life. And if I don't do it, other person is going to do then, or it's going to happen. And now how I conquer these things and how I come closer to the union with God. These three things are very important for understanding that God works through consolation, not through desolation. I can have pain, but that is not sadness. Pain is because something is painful, but it's different from sadness. Sadness is connected with despair and is the root of sins. Yeah? And I can have a lot of pain, but that doesn't mean even internal pain. Mary was pierced by a sword in the passion of Jesus, but she was not sad. So she was suffering with her son. She was suffering because the greatest suffering that a saint can have is God is not loved. That is the greatest suffering of a saint. Is that people don't love God. Because we are those who are making the sufferings of Jesus and making the sufferings of God, because we don't believe in his love. And all the prayer of Jesus was remaining in the love of the Father, remaining in his almighty power, and remaining doing his will and following his will. I mean, all the prayer for that. And you know what? How he finished. I mean, pray always, because the flesh is weak, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is at hand. So once God wants, the Father wants always to give us what? His love, that is expressed in the Holy Spirit, his power that is expressed in the Holy Spirit, and his will, and doing his will. And all the passion of Jesus is coming there. He's letting God to work in him. And that's what St. Ignatius discovered in his life in a moment of discernment of the Spirit, that he was suffering. Of course, he was wounded by he was in a battle with the French and Navarros, that are a part of Spain, against the king of Spain, and they were. And he was the one who was a man of courage, a man of strength, and keeping all the army there until, because they know that they were going to lose the battle. But he was so courageous that he kept there, even they were going to lose the battle, for the dignity and the. And when they lost the battle, The French, that in that time, I mean, they understood that that was a man of brave, and he was not a coward. I mean, he was cowardless. I mean, he was a man, and they respect that. And the same French that conquered the castle that he was defending brought him to the house of his family, and there was their convalescence. Because he was wounded by this ball that they use with the canyons, and he was wounded in the leg, so he had to make repose. And there happened something that was, I mean, it's amazing how God in his divine providence was using things, and this man with all his limitations and all his pride and vanity and vain honor that he has, he brought that man to the moment of salvation when he was wounded, when he was suffering, when he was sick and he cannot move. So they gave him, he asked for a book of cavalry, of knights, you know. That time was the book of cavalry was the most, I mean, like now watching the is the Avengers and the the Marvel the heroes, something like that. I mean, and he was there, and the woman there that was his sister-in-law told him, "Oh, we don't have these books in this house, cavalry. We only have Vita Christi and Flor Santorum. So, A Life of Christ and A Life of the Histories, Flowers of Saints. Is Flor Santorum means Flowers of Saints. So." Little histories about what the saints did. And Vita Christi's Life of Christ is, that is the translation. They were a famous book in that time. And he began to read these books. And when he was there and reading the books, and here is important to understand what is about the discernment of the Spirit, because I have heard many things, and it's not about that. I mean, the discernment of the Spirit is that he was there thinking in the lady of his dreams, all cavalry, and all a knight has to do great things for a lady, and was not a sexual thing. I mean, was about conquering countries or battles or places or writing poems or things for the glory of that woman. So it was a kind of, I mean, of idealization of someone. That is all cavalry, making an ideal of someone. And thinking that in glorifying that person, you are glorified in some way, and it's all about that. And was not duquesse or marquise, but more. Accordingly to what we know, can be only the wife of the Emperor of Spain. That was, you know, Charles I of Spain and 5th of Germany. He was half Europe was him at least, and all. Until here, Colorado was his possessions from Argentina, the land of fire. I mean, all was he was Philippines, and all things were under this guy. And the wife of this man was, according to history, one of the most beautiful women. And he was that, probably is that. I mean, because he didn't mention that in his autobiography. Because cannot be other person. I mean, if you not do duquesse or marquise, but more, but much more, who can be? I mean, the queen, only that. So, and he was there thinking. Imagine the imagination of this guy. I mean, thinking about what he was going to do, the things that he was going to conquer, the deeds and the things. And he spent there hours. This is written in his autobiography, thinking in this. And when he was thinking in this, he was excited with the desires of doing these things. He was in a real emotion of doing these things. And later, he began to read the books of Vita Christi and Flor Santorum. And he began to read the books, and reading the books, he was a Catholic. I mean, even he was not living really as a Catholic, he was there thinking, and there, he wanted to do the things of the saints. So he wrote the Flor Santorum, say, San Ignatius did that, I want to do that. Oh, sorry, San Ignatius. And San Francis did that, I want to do that. San Bernard, and began to think about what the things he was going to do for Jesus. And there he was also according to his writings, he was in emotion and in enthusiasm, and he was there like hours in those thoughts. And one day, he had a grace of God for understanding the different things that were happening inside him. The thoughts, some kind of thoughts about this lady, about what he was going to do, they were full of enthusiasm and desires of doing that. But when he finished doing that, he was sad, empty, lonely, and void. And when he was having the thoughts and desires, I insist, connect these things, about what he was going to do for Jesus and for the church and for the glory of God, I mean, when he was thinking in these things and desiring these things, the effect inside him was, when he finished these thoughts, he remained in peace and in joy and in strength and in with desires. So he understood that because what he was doing, this is the discernment of spirit. That is very clear. Because what he was choosing to do, so his thoughts and desires, discernment of spirit is not what I'm going to do. No, in this case, no. What we are talking now is what is happening to me because my thoughts and because my desires, because my thoughts are coming from my desires. And you can control this, I mean, because that is the only thing that you can control in your life. I mean, you don't control nothing, even we want to control everything. The only thing that we can control in our life is our inner self, because it's in my power, it's in my will. And my thoughts are in my will. My heart and my feelings are in my will. And I have some power for that. That is called prayer, for opening it and changing it, because we can change our inner self. So, this is the point, that he understood that through his very desires and action, there was an action of the evil spirit in him, and there was an action of God in him. It's clear the point, because that is all about. It's about this. It's about what I am doing. If you are sad, have this clear. You are having thoughts and desires that are contrary to God. It's about you, or it's about your problems. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's not God. Because God gives consolation and joy. And if you are not having consolation and joy, it's because your thoughts are contrary to God, are about yourself, are about selfish things, or prideful things, or vain things, or whatever. As an Ignatius was having thoughts of vanity and desire of glorifying himself, because in the bottom what he was looking is for glorifying himself. Because the glory of that woman was his glory. Imagine the imperatrix of all these things, and he, the guy who was doing great things for her. I mean, all crazy, because I mean, in that moment he was lame and crippled. So imagine how many things he was going to do, but all was thinking. So I mean, this is very important to understand the things. So I can know always when I am sad, when I am depressed, when I am discouraged, it's me and the enemy, maybe, but sure that is me. It's not God. Is clear the point? I mean, this is very important. We go to the first, you can have them and put your notes, Sarah. This for you free, you can pass this. So we go to understand what St. Ignatius is trying. I mean, you know, this is all the power of a founder of the Jesuits that make people who were always called to be contemplative in action. Contemplative in action means doing the things of the world, being whatever, being contemplative, so knowing how God is working. And that is all founded in this, in the experience he had of this light of God for discerning that when I am having some kind of thoughts, try to change them. Because there are thoughts that put you depressed and sad and discouraged, and they are not from, these are not from God. These are from your ego. And your ego now is giving power to the enemy, and now we ask, where is God? Bad question. Always the question is, where am I? That is the good question always. Where am I? No, where is God? No, where am I? Eh? Because if you are where God wants you to be, you will know where God is in your heart. I mean, but we need to work it, because it's not spontaneous. So, I mean, this is, first of all, is making a difference. That is the difference between the first and all the others. So you can also understand people. It's not only for us. Maybe we need it sometimes, because we have to understand sometimes when we are doing wrong things that what is happening in our hearts. Yeah. So the rules are for perceiving, for understanding, so experiencing. That is the word he's trying to use. I mean, experience in some degree the different movements. So the things that are movements is a whole word for thoughts, desires, the different things that are happening inside me. That is the use of the word movements. Eh? That are produced in the soul. The good that they may be accepted. So these rules are for acting. They are not passive rules. Are for acting. Eh? The rules for accepting. Accepting is an action. I mean, the bad that may be rejected. And that is he talked about the first week. So, and now begins talking about the enemy. It's a custom, ordinarily, to propose apparent pleasures. I mean, we have talked about that several times because this society is all about that. Apparent pleasures. Apparent goods. That is the way Satan works always. Apparent pleasures. This is for those who are moving in a bad life. So they're living in selfishness, don't have any desire of God, they don't have any, I mean, maybe Catholics, I mean, that they are going to Mass, but they don't have a desire of changing their life, of conversion, they don't have a desire of being holy. All their life is Broncos, Facebook, TV, money, my work, and my children be the best playing soccer and other sports. I mean, but that is the same desires of an atheist. So, imagine what is the problem. So, there is no relationship with God. So, because St. Ignatius talked about mortal sin, but in that time they have a more strict concept about mortal sin than we have now, because we know more psychology about the problems of humanity. The enemy is accustomed or denied to propose apparent pleasures to those persons who go from mortal sin to mortal sin. The brackets, you say? Yes. Are mine. It's not St. Ignatius. Disordered life, living in the flesh, alone in their imagination and self-centered. So I think that is because I know it also, that happened not only when you are doing mortal sins. He, the enemy, thus causes them to imagine sensual delights and pleasure in order to hold them more and more easily and to increase their vices and sins. So what Satan is trying here is to make pleasure. That is a kind of joy, no? His pleasure is delighting in something that is not good. It's something that is apparent pleasures, apparent good. So things that are, you are going to have more money. I don't know, can be many things. But are things that are not real. The joy and the pleasure that they give. But in the imagination, he brings that to the people. So there are millions of people here thinking that they are going to do no whatever and they are going to be happy. Even, I mean, I don't want to go there, but in many places, I mean, even in marriage, I mean, thinking that the imagination of how happy we are going to be, how many people have been losing hours and hours there and after marriage become a failure? Why? That was real? No. I mean, but that imagination of pleasure that are not real, and I'm saying something that is not bad in itself. But can be there. Some can be, I don't know, many things in our heads that are bringing us to think, imagining pleasures and good that I am going to get. St. Ignatius was not doing nothing wrong. Was only thinking in doing great things for a woman. But not connected with, I think that was not connected with any sexual thing, was all connected with the glory of these things. So can be things about my glory, about what, I don't know exactly, but I mean, it's clear the idea, no? And these people, that they are majority of people, the spiritual things are like boring, tired, loathsome. They don't like this. There's millions of people here because they think that the spiritual is boring. The spiritual is fullness, the contrary of what they think. Why? Because Satan keeps us in their apparent pleasures and making them imagine sensual delights and pleasure in order to hold him so they don't go to God. They don't. And how God can work in these people? God can work in these people only one way, to the remorse of conscience. So, to the judgment, the good spirit acts in this person in a contrary way, awakening the conscience to a sense of remorse through the good judgment of the reason. That is the reason they don't want to hear a homily. They don't want to hear something that is religious. They don't want to go places that they can be faced and understand I am doing wrong. I mean, they don't want that. So they hate that in some way. Why? Because they are here. And in this is essentially imagination, is the use of the imagination for thinking in pleasures and things that are not real, but is there, because we have, 70% of sex is imagination, at least. I mean, that's the reason pornography exists. It's all imagination. I mean, it's all working in our head, thinking, but it's not real, but the pleasure, because there is nobody there. I mean, maybe, but in the thing of that, it's all imagination. So it's apparent pleasures, apparent good. But why? Because there is a pleasure there. But this real pleasure, what happened after that pleasure? After that pleasure, I am more sad, more lonely, more void, and more despair. Ooh, good. So was a real good? No. Was an apparent pleasure? Was a false good? Because in my imagination, I thought that was going to give me something. I thought that was going to bring me to some place. And the truth is the contrary. But this is in all false good, in all apparent good. I mean, shopping or other things that we do more easy and less sin, less matter of sin, because we are very puritans and only sex seems to be. No. I mean, in whatever level of things, you watch a movie, test yourself how you are after watching a movie sometimes. If you have some joy, some peace, some fullness, or it's in many things. This is the goal of education. Education is teaching children to discern things because they have to live their lives later. And I'm not going to be there always with them, and I don't want to be there always with them saying what they have to do. It's their own being has to discern that there are things that apparently give you something, but it's a lie, they don't give you nothing. I mean, you play something, for example, with other people, or you play soccer, and you are glad that they're doing that. If you are not been playing in pride and aggressivity and that, if you are going playing as a normal person making a sport, you feel well. But there are things that make you, and that happen in all levels of humanity. Have this very clear, it's very important. I mean, because I think that this is the goal of education, teaching children to discern what is happening inside them. Because, I mean, that is the only way they can keep with God. So this is important that we understand that this level of people that are not even trying to come out from selfishness. It's clear the point. I would say define this kind of people there, not sins, because we think big sins. No. People who are not trying to finish with selfishness. So they are not in their head and in their lives, there is not a desire of loving and giving themselves and growing and maturing. It's clear, no, the thing. But there are a lot of people there. The thing is all about feelings. So these are not the rules of discernment of a spirit. For this, they are not the rules of discernment of the spirit. That is very clear. It's very important to understand this. The rules of discernment of spirit begins when, on the contrary, the second, the first rule takes place in those who, how, now he's expressing the contrary. Those who earnestly strive to purify themselves from their sins and who advance from good to better in the service of God our Lord. So those who want to grow, here are the rules of discernment of the Spirit. It's clear at this point. And when you are there, because you can be there when you want, it's your choice. Not something that people are here and people are there. No, people are here and people are there. No, people have the capacity of choosing and being here or being there. That is the point of this, of the rules of discernment of the Spirit. I mean, you can change if you want. You can understand that you are created for being holy, for growing and maturing, and now changing things, and you are here now. In discernment of in the place of this, so it's not like the when the seed is by the word of God is the seed is in the field and there are different situations. No, there are different choices, because God wants every one of us to bear fruit and fruit in abundance. So He wants us to be in those who are bearing fruit. If we are not, it's because we are letting other things to get our hearts as this. It's clear. It's important to understand that it's not. I mean, we are good and we are here. We are they are bad and they are not here. No, I can be. I can move from here, from being in life with the desire of holiness and the desire of growth and the desire of being better person and going from good to better. And another day, I am here. And God is not going, wow, because you yesterday were there. Today I punish you and I am not. I mean, God is not such. In the moment you want. You are with God. It's clear what I'm saying? Yes?
Father, how do we help people in our life move from that position to the position where they want to grow?
That is a matter of joy and fullness and saying to people, I mean, and repeating, especially with the people that we are, God is joy, God is peace. You don't have joy, you don't have peace. I mean, try to understand that is your guilt. I mean, God is joy and peace, is fullness. Read the letters of St. Paul, read the Jesus, what he's talking about. I mean, the problem is that Satan is very cunning and I insist to the sin, sufferings, and death, boom, 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 try to bring us away from God. But if we are in the disposition of growing and going from good to better, I mean, purifying our hearts, so taking the things that are not letting God to be God in my heart. But this is a choice, that is the first choice, that is the most important. I mean, follow me. If we are trying to follow him, we are in the rules of discernment of the Spirit. But I insist, that doesn't mean that because today I said to Jesus, I follow you, the next day cannot happen the contrary. It's clear what I am saying. I mean, God is always there. God is not yes and no. God is always yes. But I can go from his yes to my ego, and now I'm blocking his action. And that can happen to everyone here. Eh? One day is iron, and the next day, what is happening? Your ego is coming. I mean, the rules are for understanding that the people who are purifying, the two words that is in it, purifying, how you write it? Purifying. That purifying and from good to better, for these are the rules of the discernment of spirit. And here is very important that we get this is A, B, C of a spiritual life. It's the basic of a spiritual life. God, to these people who are here, God gives consolation. Always. It's clear. How cannot give consolation God? God is wanting you to be holy and he's the one who wants to help you. Without me, you can do nothing. I mean, a person who is wanting to grow and wanting to put his ego apart and this is always consolation, and consolation is joy, it's peace, it's increase of faith, hope, and charity. It's courage. And here to these people, because the enemy wants to stop them, he wants to stop the people purifying their lives and want to stop the people to go from good to better, because he's going to lose not only that person, but a lot of other people. Because when you purify your heart and you are going from good to better, you can bring more people to God. And Satan knows that. So he's going to try to stop this. How? The war is desolation. that is turmoil, sadness, discouraged. And other things, and lack of faith, and feeling that God is away from me, and I am separated from God, and these things that we has happened to every one of us many times in our lives. I'm working there, because here is the point. This consolation and desolation is not for staying there. It's for reacting. For what? For if I am here, I am trying to purify my heart, conquering desolation, and coming to consolation, because we need consolation. You ask how we can bring people to God. I mean, being in consolation. If I am upset, angry, frustrated, and disappointed, I don't think that you are going to bring anyone to God, no? I mean, it's a matter of joy. It's a matter of fullness in the heart. It's a matter of how we are letting God to work in us. But it's there. The ego is terrific. And Satan, that is cunning, is very cunning. Especially when a person is trying to grow in the spiritual life. He's very cunning. I mean, he's an angel of light. Luzbel is called, before he was converted in Satan. So his intelligence. So if you try or think that you can, and here is all the same. It's a process here of humility and trust. Understanding that God wants to work in me and opening to him. So, you know, here are the words that he used. The evil spirit to those who are here, I insist in this point, because sometimes I see like confusion. People who are here cannot have discernment of spirit. It's clear, at least what the standing nature is talking. Only when people who are here can discern how God is working in them and how the evil spirit is working in them. Only when we are here, but we put here, yes. If you are in the first, what you have is this pleasure, imagination, and you can have sadness to the judgment of the reason. So, because you feel that you are doing wrong. No? It's the only way. In the first, God tried to that person. I mean, God is not going to give joy to that person that is doing wrong. I mean, that is the reason God doesn't give many consolation. In the moment a person, I mean, I can talk about my experience, but in the moment a person wants to do the will of God and wants to change, God is working. The point is that you can be years here or all your life. What? Ruling your imagination and in your thinking about pleasures and things that you are going to get, money, prestige, power, possession of things. Sorry. People can be there all along their lives, no? I mean, but now God is totally blocked. Why? Because if God gives you consolation, what is going to happen? That you are going to reaffirm yourself in what you are doing, in your selfishness. God is not going to do that. He's not a deceiver. I mean, in the moment you want to come, and you truly, because God, the problem is that God knows our hearts and our will. In the moment I want to come out and come to his mercy, I mean, because I want to change means I want his love, I need his love, I open to him. In that moment, God is working always. It's clear at this point. I mean, it's very important to understand this in a spiritual life and in prayer also. Because I live as I pray, because I pray as I live. So my prayer is totally connected with my life. If my life is looking here for this, it's very difficult to pray and to have consolations in prayer. But if you are looking here, you go to prayer, and prayer is very easy. And majority of times there is consolation. Because you are looking for God, if you know how to look for him, that is moving your faith, hope, charity, as the little paper, and humility, God works. God is working there. My Father works always. And his work is a work of love. And me also, said Jesus. I mean, he has come for his joy be in us and our joy be completed. But I mean, we need to understand that this is the base of all the other things that we are going to say. So the words here, you know, that here the enemy, of course, Why? Because he's trying to stop this. How he can stop that? He can stop that with anxiety, sadness, creating obstacles based in false reasoning. How you are going to be there? This is, where is God? Through preventing the soul from making further progress. I mean, it's so simple to get it. No? What is going to do the enemy? The enemy, what is going to do is trying to stop that we grow and mature. And we grow further in the knowledge of God. And he's going to try by all means that he has. Now depend on me, that is the rules of discernment. How I face him and how I don't let him to do his work in me. And the other is, and through this, those who are here, those who are trying to purify, the word is the good spirit, give courage, strength, consolation, tears, inspiration, and peace, making things easy and removing all obstacles so that the soul may make further progress in good works. I mean, it's like, no? But it's there. It's very important that we understand what is happening in our hearts, because our hearts is our life. So and the enemy works there, and God works there in the measure we let him. And now make it to the 3 and the 4 are definition of consolation and definition of desolation. Always here. Now he's always going to talk about those who are here. Those who are here, I mean, you know, God cannot work in them, because they are denying God. God works in them through the just judgment of the reason. I mean, through reason is the only way. Because the heart is away from God, is refusing God, is in hatred to God. And so God cannot work there. God needs my consent, and my consent is here to him. Clear some question about this? I mean, you get this, the other things are very simple. Very, very simple. Because even if this is simple, I mean, that if God is God, and I am trying to be better, he has created me for being holy, he's going to support me and endure me and give me the graces for thy need for being here and growing and going further, because he has created you for being holy. So how he's going to give any other thing? So I know that that is not the mind of the world, but the mind of the world has nothing to do with the gospel. The thing that putting God is suffering and no. No, no, putting God is joy and peace and fullness. That is what everyone is. That is the reason we can convert people. If not, how we are going to convert anyone? Through a sad life, a miserable life. No, you don't convince anyone there. You convince because you have happy and you are in fullness. When there, you can convince everyone. I mean, and you can say, okay, it's your problem, not mine. Anyway, I can say, okay, you want to continue bothering yourself? Okay. But don't say that there is no God, eh? So, I mean, but is there? Is there that distinction that is very important? The enemy always here is going to try to put the person down. For what? For stopping his way of holiness. Because go deeper is a person going, more knowledge of God, more joy, more peace, and more capacity of being an instrument of the action of God with others. More docility. Look, Mary, the fullness of that. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. That is consolation, rejoicement in God. But I mean, it's because she's there. Where? I mean, in the plan of God. It's a pilgrim in faith. Yeah. That's St. Paul, Jean Paul II defined her.
Father, it seems like, I mean, most of the time where it gets confusing is the suffering part and all the trials and those kind of things, which are a natural part of God's plan. He says to pick up your cross, you're going to have a cross.
Yeah.
But people equate that to desolation instead of consolation. And don't see it. That's where it gets
great. Yeah, that is the confusion. Maybe there's a good question about that. I mean, the thing is that a Christian person, even in the cross, has consolation. The cross is going to be for everyone in this life. I mean, getting older is a cross, and dying is a cross. But look the joy with which the saints die. So the difference is that God continue working because it's not about physical things. I mean, it's connected with physical things. It's about how I am purifying my heart and coming from good to better. And if I know that we should know that everything is in the almighty power of God and in His divine providence for our holiness and our growth, I mean, how am I not going to be here? The thing is how I am opening to God. All the process of action of God is about faith, hope, and charity. And all what they call dark nights is a purification in these three, so I can get closer to God. It's all that. Not any other thing. So God tried to purify our faith, our hope, and charity for bringing us closer to the union with Him. That is, these three are about happiness, which is only here, in the union of love with God. And this, for being more concrete and more exact in this life, is doing the will of God. So simple as that. God has done the thing for the little ones, I mean, as you can understand. And His almighty power. But it's there. I mean, it's all the purification that we can have. That are moments in which the enemy can work in us, because God is letting that happen, as was letting Jesus being tempted in the garden. Where for what? For through obedience, through suffering, He learned obedience. And through obedience to the will of God, He came to perfection. And He has become the source of life for all those who obey. But is there? I mean, all the plan of God is bringing us to the greater fullness. Why? Because more united I am with God, more will be my joy eternal in heaven. And your Father is not stingy. So He wants for you a fullness that you cannot imagine or desire, with the power that He has in working in our hearts, St. Paul reminds us. But depend on us. I mean, this is a problem of where I want to be, because I can be here in apparent pleasures and delights. And it's very easy to get there and stay there. Because this, we will say, well, this is the mediocrity of life that is so frequent, no? How many people we see then, and after their whole life, they have no knowledge of God, no joy, no fullness. There are others that not. I mean, the people, when they get elderly, they are boom. Because elderly is for becoming more holy, it's for opening more to God. It's for calming down and being more focused in what is essential in life. But that is not in our society. Elderly people are there, disdain. Why? Because they don't have any fullness. And a person who has no fullness, elderly people are trying to be young people. Are all in the gym, trying to do things for keeping themselves no way. You can do what you want. You are getting older each day. The only renewal that you can have every day is your heart. But this society is, youth is the perfection. This is the society, because the only thing that is valuable is the body. And so, and elderly people, the body is not. And now they are trying to get there by cloth, the diets, and a lot of things for getting there, instead of bringing to fullness their humanity in the inner self, because the external body, this tent, is deteriorating and diminishing, as St. Paul expressed very clear. But the inner self can grow every day, and that is the mystery of salvation. But in the moment that the elderly people are not there and are here and aware of the mystery that humanity is, what we can give to the youth people? Nothing. And they disdain us because of that. Because we cannot give them nothing. Because it's all about now being as them. No, we don't have to be as them. We are what we are, and we are called to a fullness. And that is given by God. But it's given in the interior. Why God make us more weak externally? For we focus more in the interior. I mean, we become more humble also. Because we are not so, because a youth with 30 can be all the day doing things and outside and and running. But when you get older, you cannot do that. Why? Because God is teaching through life the mystery of your humanity. But the people don't get the lesson. So I insist the point is that all this action of God is for bringing us to the total joy that is the union with Him. You read St. John of the Cross and you will see what he experienced in that knowledge of God, in that union with God. Why? Because more you are purified of your ego, because the only problem God has is my ego, and more you are purified, more he can transform you in him, so can divinize you. That is the goal for which you were created, for becoming image and likeness of God in fullness. Yes?
So in the context of the marriage, then is the role of the spouse, besides serving, dying to self-serving, the other is to remind each other of this truth?
Yes. That is the goal of marriage. The goal of marriage is bringing the other person to God. That is the meaning, the only meaning of marriage. When marriage has not that meaning, marriage is a little mess of suffering between people that they don't know what we are here. Marriage has a goal, it's the union with God. How is it achieved? Through charity, because now you love God loving your wife, and you help her, or you love God loving your husband, you help him through your love to understand the love of God, because your love is very weak. And the goal of marriage is the union with God, of course. I mean, when that disappears, God can do something out of the union with him. For what? The only thing that is out of the union with God is despair and hell. I mean, the all things, fatherhood and motherhood, are for bringing children to God. Spousal love is for bringing the other person to God, both walking together toward God. And now we give life to others for bringing to the mystery of God others. But I mean, in the moment you take God from human relationships are tough and difficult. Why? Because they are not being created by living them without God. I mean, the Creator is the Redeemer. Why? Because we broke, we almost harm deeply His creation. Because His creation, the whole goal of creation is grace. From the beginning, I mean, before Jesus and before everything, God created this world, this body, for living in grace. So from living from God. That is what paradise was. Paradise was paradise not because they were very healthy and they were not going to die. Paradise was paradise only because one thing, because they were in total intimacy with God. And from that intimacy with God was coming all the other things. They were not going to die. They were not going to suffer. They were in fullness because the intimacy with God. And after they broke that, because they pretend to occupy the place of God in pleasures, in their imagination, they broke that relationship with God, and now all the things were destroyed. Why? Because they lost the original grace that was the greatest gift that they have, the union with God in their hearts. That is paradise. I mean, you can read the Catechism of the Church and not say nothing that is not there. Why? Because God has not created the things for living by themselves. It's the humans. The other things are totally, but they cannot receive. That is, they are limited in their nature. We are unlimited in their nature because our spiritual dimension is open to the infinite, is open to God, and has no limits in that fullness that God wants to give us. But that was from the beginning. It's not that Jesus came to make something new. No, Jesus made to renew the things and redeem the things and bring to salvation what was the original plan of the Father. Because the original plan of the Father was the resurrection of the flesh. So men were not going to die because they were going to be glorified in their bodies. And that was the original plan of God. And Jesus came to say us, this was the plan of the Father, not what you think. I mean, and it's all about the union with God. I mean, but I think that reason the things are so difficult. Because in the moment a marriage is not oriented toward God and they're not living as children of God, I mean, I prefer not to be married. I mean, because it's tough. I say it, I know it, I know more than you, because I know all the day in a confessionary talking, and then today and another couple, and the other day another couple, and the other day another couple, with huge problems in the relationships. Why? Because I mean, because the things are not oriented. And that is this is about God. Humanity is about God. When we think that we live without God, that means that we are not thinking too much. We are very short. So, important thing, these two, understanding this action of God that is called consolation. And if you don't have it, ask for it. Because if you are here, you have to have it. God wants to give it. And if it's a time of purification, okay, accept it and keep there. But keep there where purifying your heart and going from good to better. Because the only thing that God is wanting to do is to come further in his plan to him. And sometimes he gives us that trials or that, but we have to discern here the point. I mean, God is permitting desolation. Why? Because there are yet things inside me that give power to Satan. It's clear the point. It's not God who is giving desolation. It's that there are in me yet things that are not letting God, and so give a power to the enemy. And God let that happen, so I understand then, and I face those problems that I have inside me. Because we don't face the things if we don't suffer. We are such. That is the truth. I mean, if we don't suffer, we don't face the problems that we have. I am an arrogant person. And a person that is arrogant can be thinking that he is full of the Holy Spirit and a lot of things. And God put that person in turmoil and trial, so calm down, my little boy. I mean, yes, I mean, because, I mean, is God wants my holiness. And if I am letting the things, and that is the purification, the purifications are me consenting God to give me light and give me understanding of who I am and what are the things that I have to take, because continue being in some way linked or to my will, and I don't want to let them go, and he wants me to let them go. And if I don't let them go, he can say to me, I am not your God. You are deceiving yourself, not me. Because you don't love me with all your heart, all your strength, all your being, and all your soul. No? It's clear the point. Because it's very important for understanding how God works. God works through consolation. Have this very clear. And he can let the enemy to work in us because we have things inside us that let the enemy work in us. Mary has not those things. And that reason, she was always in consolation. I mean, she was always in the joy of the union with God as Jesus. You can read in the the new millennium who is beginning. I don't know the translation in Novo Millennium Neunte. Is it the title? It was a program that John Paul II made for the new millennium. So how we have to face this millennium that he was there in the past from the... he wrote this, I don't know, exhortation of, I think it's letter, apostolic letter. But it's so good, I mean, especially when he talk about prayer. People have to be people of prayer. And he gave two witnesses of prayer, Santa Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross. He can give a lot. He can talk about St. Catherine of Siena or Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus. No, he put as example of prayer and doctor of prayer for learning to pray, St. John of the Cross and Santa Teresa of Avila. I mean, why? He knows a lot, I mean. Why? Because they are really powerful people for bringing us to the love of God and these things that they receive in God in a super abundance. I mean, you read them and the amazing graces God gave to them, to both. I mean, but in that part also talk about central idea is contemplating the face of Jesus. That is the central idea of Nuevo Millennium. We have to contemplate Jesus. And he talked about the passion of Jesus and the garden. And when he talked about the garden, he talked about in the garden how Jesus, in all that suffering that he passed, in the bottom of his being, he was in total happiness. Read it. And he talked how St. Catherine of Siena talked about that experience and saw how Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus and quote both saints talking about in the greatest suffering you can be in a total union with God and happiness. And that's what Jesus was. I mean, because we see the things in a different way. We think that God is abandoning. No, the thing here is that there is a battle against this enemy. And this battle is inside us. It's external also, because the culture of death of the culture of life, but begins always here in the human heart. And Jesus came to show the power of God in the human heart. The power of the Father for those who are opening to His fatherhood, to His almighty power, and to His loving guidance. That is His will. And that's what Jesus came to teach us. But now the battle is there because the enemy is really cunning, and we are weak, and we are poor, and that reason humility is everything. What is humility? Understanding how weak I am, how poor I am, how easy He can deceive me, so I keep always here, there, close to Him. That is called in the Old Testament the fear of God. That is the fear of me, because it's so easy that I go from God that I am afraid of me. That is the fear of God. It's not fear to God, it's fear to me. Because in poop, like that, what? And in my pride or in my vanity or in my arrogance or in my thinking so ridiculous about whatever, I mean, who is this? That is humility. Humility is understanding that. Understanding how easy I go from God. So I keep aware, and all these spiritual life counsels and books of spirituality are only for one thing, for keeping us humble. That is the guard of the heart, the recollection, all these things that are written in the books are for keeping us aware of who we are and aware of the presence of God in us. So He can work in us, because without Him, the thing is clear. I can do nothing. And we don't have that very clear yet. But Jesus make it very clear for us. That is what the saints have that very clear, and that's the reason they are so humble. Because they know that without Him, they can do nothing. And they know by experience. Not by that they have read it in chapter 15 of St. John, verse 5. No, they know by experience that without Him, they can do nothing. It's God. It's God. So we go to the rules. So desolation is, you can read it. I mean, consolation is, essentially, consolation is joy and peace. You don't have peace and joy. I mean, try to change something in your heart and try to purify and go from good to better, looking for the will of your Father. I mean, make the prayer of Jesus. I mean, I think it's the most powerful prayer that ever exists. Abba, Father, for you nothing is impossible, not my will, but your will. And pray there with the heart and in depth, and you will see how God works. Because Jesus was there. I mean, you watched the Bible. You saw that. You see the transformation of Jesus. He was there, sweating blood, and the next moment He was like the Lord of everything, all the passion. Boom. Why? Because He teach us to open to the fatherhood of God, to the power of God, and to the will of God. So for receiving the Holy Spirit, because it's the only place that you can receive the Holy Spirit. When you proclaim that God is good, because He is good and the giver of everything, He is almighty, and this moment is in His power, and His will is the only good that exists. So, first rule. So we go now to the rules. If I sum up it, desolation is turmoil, sadness, and discourage. These three things are the easiest way of getting it. A person who is sad or discouraged or turmoil, so anxiety, this is and whatever thinking. I mean, desolation is always bringing us back and forward. So Satan used the past and the future for putting us in desolation. Through thinking is the way He works. God works through action now, through power here and now. Satan works through imagination. So when you are going to the past or to the future, what is going to happen? I mean, now you can get depressed. If you go to the past, usually it's depressed. If you go to the future, usually it's anxiety and fear. And the fear and anxiety can be such that put you in total anguish. So Satan has that power. God's consolation is always about the present, because consolation has to do with rejoice, no? Rejoicement. So something that I am now delighting, something that it has to be with something that I am experiencing some goodness now. The other is thinking. In the same way that through this thinking, the people who are in sin, He bring them to keep them in their sins. Hear what He is trying to bring us away from purifying our hearts and from going from good to better. And this is His work. I mean, it's very simple to get it, but we have to understand it and work it. So desolation is here. No, I don't read. Apathetic, laziness, discouraged, sadness, separated as it were from its creator and Lord. And the thoughts that spring from consolation are the opposite of that thought springing from desolation. So we go now for reacting. So San Ignatius is a warrior. So he makes the rules of discernment of spirit for facing this. So a person who is here has the instruments for facing the problem of desolation and how to act in consolation. And all the rules are essentially for desolation, because it's the moment that is more difficult for people, no? For keeping there and going further while purified and doing what is good. And if you do that, I mean, the action of God is there and it's coming there. And try to do it. Try to do it consciously, because God works to that. First, never make a change. More simple cannot be. Firm and constant in the resolution and decision that you take when you were in consolation. So usually when we are in consolation, we want to do things for God. So, and Satan will try is to, we change. We make another choices. And keep there. Consolation will come. But if you are not firm in that, the enemy is going to work until he get you away from, I mean, he has no mercy and compassion. If he can bring you to suicide now, he will do it. Without no doubt. It's clear what I'm saying? I mean, letting him is that is the reason people sometimes we surprise why that people have suicide. How that people have done that, I mean, it was not such bad his life. Because in a moment, if he can, he's, you know, here is the expression of St. Ignatius. Yeah. No wild beast on earth is more fierce than the enemy of our human nature as he pursues his evil intention with ever increasing malice. I mean, it's tough what they say. He has power if we let him. Because Jesus came to teach us that he has no power. But look how the power he has, that in one day they were proclaiming Jesus Messiah. Mm-hmm. It's the Palm Sunday. And going there to do. And that next Thursday, the Thursday at night, all the things were changed. That is the power he has, in this world. The prince, the ruler of this world is coming. But that you know that he has no power in me, I go. So he knows that But at the same time, this is the important point, what Jesus came to teach us, that I go, that you know I love the Father, what he's teaching us is that that power of Satan is nothing compared with the power of God acting in a person. It's clear this point. I mean, Satan can turn things and can bring a person to martyrdom, or to what, but the power of God, if that person continue opening to God and wanting to do the will of God and believing in the love of God, Satan has no power. And that is what St. Ignatius understood, and that is what the rules of discernment are about, facing him. Because he pretend that he has power. And he has some power in sin, that is true. When a person is going to sin, he has power in that person. Even a physical power, sometimes. For making things in fear. I mean, it's complex, the thing, yes, it's complex, but it's there. I mean, he can get even a possession of a person. But I think he has some kind of physical power, not only spiritual power for tempting. So the reason for avoiding him is important. I mean, why? Because he can get us. So never make change. So. Because in consolation is guiding us. So here, these rules are in desolation. So when I am sad, or when I am depressed, or when I am down, or whatever is happening in my life, that is not good. I mean, keep there, because God will. Why? Because God will give you consolation, but keep there. Remain there. Don't give up. I mean, that is what he's saying. Never make a change. but stand firm and constant in the resolution and decision which guided him the day before the desolation, or to the decision which he observed in the preceding consolation, so the one he was consoled. For just as the good spirit is guiding how many people has broken marriages, has led a spiritual religious life, have given up to priesthood because times of desolation. I mean, sad. Why? Because they were not feeling in that moment nothing joy. So he finished with the word, following the counsel of this later spirit of desolation, one can never find the correct way to a right decision. Never. Why? Because it's falling by desolation. It's the last of the... Although in desolation we should not change our earlier resolutions, it will be very advantageous to intensify our activity against the desolation. So what he's saying, reacting contrary to what is the desolation, to the temptation. That is the saying that St. James in chapter 4 says, face the devil and he will run away from you. So reacting, not letting that the desolation get me. I mean, because I can put means. I mean, we have a lot of power inside, in our will, for changing things. If we open to God, of course. If we are by ourselves, that means that we are here or here. But if we are in God, so we are in presence, and we open to God here and now, and to his love here and now, and to his fatherhood, and to his almighty power here and now, God is almighty. So put the means, react against the desolation. Why? Because God wants to give you consolation. And he's letting that happen for facing it, for making you sometimes grow in patience or grow in virtues. So that is what he's saying in the next, I mean. And although, and that is very important, although the Lord has withdrawn from him his great fervor and ardent love and intense grace that he hath in consolation, the feeling of that grace is, he has nevertheless left him sufficient grace to eternal salvation. So God is giving you always the grace for doing what is good. That is what he's saying. I mean, even I don't have consolation, I have the grace of God for doing what is right if I want to do what is right. That is, always we go to this point, I mean. It's very important to understand that it's not a matter of thinking, it's a matter of choices about how I am growing as a person and how I'm trying to purify my heart from the things that are contrary to God inside me. Because there, God is going to work if I put the means for coming out from desolation that is intensifying. Don't be listening. If a person is in desolation and goes to prayer, I'm going to pray, I'm going to do my prayer today. I mean, be sure that your prayer is going to be a disaster. Because you're not reacting. You are not putting the means. No, what is the means? God is here. He loves me. I'm going to receive graces from him. So it's reacting against the situation, the mood that you have in your heart. If you don't react against that, I mean, you are letting the desolation to put you down. I mean, reacting means reacting. So moving, I mean, and only that is so simple as this, moving your faith, your hope, and your charity. And you are feeling bad, and I know, God, that you love me more now that I am here in desolation. I know that you are here with me. So making things that are contrary to the effect of desolation, that is, oh, God is not here, I am far from God, and discouraged. I mean, you are letting, in that moment, the bad spirit to get deeper in you and to work more in you. So reacting means reacting, so intensifying my actions. And what are my actions? Don't think in weird things. My action is faith of who is good, God, and hope in where are my desires. I'm moving them because you have that power as a human. It's not a feeling. Faith, hope, and charity are decisions of the heart, are choices that we make. But the point is that we are so in the feelings that I don't feel, no, God is not here. And that is what Satan is doing with you or with me. No, the God is not here because I am not feeling, now I am sad. Where is God? And instead of reacting, we go and we begin to lose faith and hope and charity. I mean, and God, and you can understand, the enemy is not going to stop. It's clear what I am saying, I mean. So reacting, intensifying, don't mean that I have to do very weird things. No, I have to move this. Because probably it's what God is asking me. To show me now, in this moment, what is your faith in me? Because when we are in consolation, we say, God, I love you. I want to be, you are wonderful, you are marvelous. But now in desolation, he don't exist. I mean, what is this? No? I mean, but it has no sense in the bottom. So it's a nonsense thing, because God exists not because I am in consolation and desolation. God exists and is there. When I am in consolation, I can grow, but is I, and I will say another thing. The moment of desolation is the best moment for growing. And it's not mine. And you know that it's in the gospel, in all the letters. Why? If you understand the things in that way, you will react. Because you understand that God is giving you an opportunity for going further. Not for letting my feelings get me. Because in my feelings, Satan can work with me and in my imagination. But in my faith, no. So I have now the opportunity of really, truly believing in Jesus. Hope, putting my hope in his promises. And now proclaiming that God is my God. And I grow there. A lot more than when I am in consolation. Because when I am in consolation, but maybe it's my feelings again. No? I mean, but I insist the union with God is achieved through this free. That this purify my intelligence. This purify my memory. And this purify my will. So the three supernatural virtues are for purifying our being. So our intelligence for knowing who is God and understanding who is God. You don't know who is God. Only faith brings you to the reality of God and who is God. Your thinking and your feelings are nothing, are a lie about God. And Satan used them for confusing you. You hope the same. What are your desires? Your imagination, that is the way Satan is playing with us, we have to purify it. It's purified by hope. It's the way the imagination is purified and the memory is purified by hope. So the past and the future are purified by the virtue of hope. And charity purifies our will, because put the will of God before our will. I mean, and all the three things are for that. It's for growing and maturing. But I mean, it's depending on you. It's not, what is going to happen? Okay, what is going to happen? Nothing. Have this very clear. When you go in a spiritual life, thinking what is going to happen, nothing is going to happen, never. Because you are not there. Spiritual life is about how you are opening to the mystery of God. And that depends on you. It's clear the point. Because depend on your faith, on your hope and your charity and your humility, of course. But I mean, what is going to happen? I know what is going to happen. What I know is what this is not a book about what is going to happen. It's a book that is encouraging us for making choices, because all what Saint Ignatius is saying here is make decisions when the solutions are there. Don't let the solution to get your heart. Don't let the solution to put you down. Don't let the enemy to get power in you. And you will see the others are the same. It's all about choices. Why? Because we are humans, because we choose. You know, this is... It's the way also, the first letter of St. Peter... I go to James, that is... I mean, it's longer, and I don't want to be... So the first thing is, after saying hello, that is the way St. James says hello. A slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings, hello. And now he comes. After saying hello, that is what he says. Consider it all joy. That's saying. Consider it all joy. My brothers, when you encounter various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith, so the purification of your faith, because it's tested, produces perseverance. And let perseverance be perfect, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So what he's saying is, and this is in St. Peter also, and it's in all the letters of St. Paul, I mean, trials are things that are happening and letting for our joy and growing. That is the contrary of what we were saying. I mean, because there are crosses, I mean, now we get down. No, because we are consider it joy. Why? Because now you have the opportunity of coming closer to God. Why? Because now you have to work your faith, your hope, and your charity, and not your feelings. Because Satan plays through my feelings and my imagination. He cannot play through faith, hope, and charity in me. He has no power then. No power is no power. He's nothing. Satan is nothing. But in faith, hope, and charity. In the moment I am my imagination, my feelings, and my thoughts, be afraid. Because there he has a lot of power, because he's very cunning and he moves our affective level with what? With apparent pleasures, apparent displeasures, and it's there. I mean, and it's controlling people by that, of course. So we go. Where we are. The next day we can continue and begin with our topic, but I mean, 8. One who is in desolation must strive to persevere in patience. All that are counsels for keeping there. Don't go back with the annoyances that have come upon him. He should consider also that consolation will soon return. Why? Because God is good and he loves you. How is not going to give you? I mean, you remember what I mean, the saints know it very well. Santa Teresa of Avila, God gives great gifts in prayer. Those who doesn't believe this, they will not see it by experience, because he's very friend that we don't put limits to his gifts. I mean, that's the same thing, another saint saying that. I mean, why? Because God wants to give us. He has created us for giving us. The glory of God is the communication of his goodness. The glory of God is the communication of his gifts. How he's not going to give you? I mean, the moment you are denying that is that you don't believe in God. And now where is your faith? And where is your hope? And now you're giving all the power to the enemy. I mean, if you have faith and hope, you conquer everything in this world because you are opening to God. But in the moment that you think that you are there because you are bad and God is not going to give you, what is that? So you think that God gives you because you are good? So it's not grace? So you are denying the whole plan of salvation? Do you get the point? I mean, when you think that God is not going to give you, it's because you have no faith. Because he's not giving anyone because he's good. He's giving everyone because he's good, not because the person is good, because he, God, is good. And he's the giver of everything. So, but that is faith. Faith is understanding that all is grace. Because all is a gift. It's not because I have done the things right. It's not because I have been accomplishing my rules. And no, it's because he is love. That's very important to get it, because if not, we go in prayer and we think, oh, I have this day I have not been very good because I was watching too much TV or too much time in Facebook, and God now is not going to give me consolations. I mean, you are thinking, you are not believing. It's clear the point, I mean, because we it's the way we think, I know it, because I have suffered it with me. But we can change the things. That is the point of here. That is what St. Ignatius get, that there is a lot of power inside us for opening to the consolation of God and the action of God in our lives. So there were the three reasons because there is desolation. Get this clear. The first is the most important and the most common. The first is because we are tepid. So we are lukewarm, slothful, and negligent on our spiritual exercises. We are not doing the things that we have to do. And so through our own fall, spiritual consolation is withdrawn for us. Why? Because we are not wanting to grow and purify in our hearts. We go always to the same point. I mean, it is very simple. If I am slothful in my spiritual life, I am not trying to purify myself. I'm going from good to better. And now God is saying to me, I mean, my little baby, I love you, but you need to use your freedom. I want to give you the graces for your freedom, go on and achieve fullness. But if you don't want, I don't want. The problem of God is only one, is wanting. That is the real problem with God. What do I want? What do I want in my life? In the depth of my heart? What I am looking for? You know, the question of Jesus to these two guys who were following him, to St. John and St. Andrew. What are you looking for? That is the most deep question for a man. And the most deep question for a woman, whom are you looking for? That is the question Jesus made to Mary Magdalene. Whom are you looking for? For a man is, what are you looking for? Because men are more about things, and women are more about personal relationships. Because if you are looking for me, here I am. That is what he was saying to Mary Magdalene. No? Whom are you looking for? For Jesus? I don't think you are looking for Jesus. Why? Because I'm here. And you're not seeing me. Why? Because you're looking for your Jesus, but not for Jesus. For your feelings. Okay. Put this there. So that is the first reason. The second reason is to test our worth and progress. God doesn't need to test us. It's an expression of St. Ignatius, so we can understand it. I mean, so God wants you to know yourself and know if you love him or not. What are you able to do when you are in desolation? You face, as St. James is saying, with the trials, with joy, because you know that the God continue being there, or because when we are in consolation, it's very easy to say things to God. But when we are in consolation, those things that I told him are lies or what are? And he's teaching me what is the truth of what I say. But it's not him. He's for teaching me what is the reality of my love to God. What is the reality of what I want to do for him? What is the reality of the capacity I have to take in this moment the cross for him? That is what is the trial he's putting me. How, out of consolation, I continue believing in him, hoping in him, and loving him. Because I insist, it's all the thing, it's very simple. This purifying and good to, and from good to better is opening more to God. And this is through the three virtues that are in your power. Have this very clear. They are in your power. You have this clear? Do you understand what I am saying? They are in your power. So you control them. They are not gifts of the Spirit. They are virtues. And virtues means that they are in your choice. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not in your choice. The only thing that you can do in your choice is being docile and being humble and accepting that there is other who guide you and trying to open more to him in docility of heart. The virtues, no. The virtues is you who rule them. Are virtues because they are elections. They are choices that I make. That is the reason they are virtues. I mean, but they are in me. God has given us that amazing power for opening to him. And the virtues are not what I do, it's how I open, because these virtues are not about me, are about him. So it's how I believe in him, in the mystery that he is, what? That he's Father, that he's Almighty, and that his will is always good, whatever is happening in your life. Okay. Do I believe that? And now my hope is all in him, because I know that he's going to give me all the things that I need for the union with him and the communion with him. And that is a virtue, it's not a feeling. Because Jesus was not having much feelings when he was in the garden, but he was in the total expectation of the action of the Spirit in him. Because prayer is hope, make flesh. And charity is how I love him above me. Have this very clear, because it's very important that we get that the things are very simple and are all connected. And the last is, so I don't think that he's giving me because I am good. Sometimes people think, oh, no, no, because I am praying and I all this thing. And God cut off that for teaching us, this is pure grace. It's not because you are good. It's not because you have done the things right. It's because it's a pure grace. And that's what St. Ignatius is saying in different words, but it's the same. The third is that we may wish to give us a true knowledge and understanding so that we may truly perceive that it is not within our power to acquire or retain great devotion, ardent love, tears, and any other spiritual consolation, but that all of this is a gift and grace of God our Lord. Because within that sometimes, why he's not giving me or why he's giving me? Crazy thing, ego, ego, ego. And God tried to avoid that always. Because it's pure grace, it's pure love that he has for us. And that is very important. Well, we finished. The other three are very important, for we can see them the next day and go to the second week. That is really powerful. But I mean, in prayer, try to understand this, that St. Ignatius was a master in this, in prayer. I mean, because this is what we had to face. How I mean, God wants to give you consolation. Do you have this clear? I mean, St. Paul called in the beginning of the letter of Corinthians, the God of all consolation. The God of all consolation. I mean, a mercy. How is he not going to give us consolation? He knows our weakness. He knows our need of him. He knows our need of consolation. How is he not going to do that? Only can be one thing, because I don't believe that he is going to give me that. In that moment, I am denying God, and now the enemy is working. Because God is infinite goodness and love, and he has created us only for one reason, giving us. That is the glory of God, to receive his gifts and become what he wants us to be. We pray to Mary, the only one who lived that all along her life in a fullness that we cannot understand, because the fullness of a woman that was in total openness always to the action of God. She was always living in faith. Blessed are you, Mary, because you have believed, and what you have believed will be accomplished. God accomplished always in those who believe in him. We ask her to help us to open more. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Imagine that this become part of education. Will be another world that children can know how God is working in them. That is, we are created for living this.
You mentioned something that majority of the people in Catholics are not there because this is not possible.